Thank you, Michael, and also Linda, taking part in the service. The text for this morning is from the same passage we just read, Acts 4, 13b, and they took note or recognized that these men have been with Jesus. The congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, a man is known by the people that visit his home, someone has said. You also can say that a man and a woman can be known as to what kind of person he or she is to take a look at what kind of friends they have. You cannot help to be affected by the kind of people who frequently visit you. They will make an impression on you, which will reflect itself in you. Sometimes there are parents whose children go the wrong way. And then it's not uncommon to hear that those parents will say, well, this boy and girl went the wrong way because the friends he has chosen to go around with. The friends one chooses will affect and change a person. This is not in regard to the choice one makes to what kind of people he calls his friends, but also in respect to what kind of things we put our hearts on. The Bible said, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Matthew 6, verse 21. If money is the most important thing in your life, then it also will clearly be seen in the outlook of life and in the values you hold. If the thoughts of sex is on your constant companion, then that will be seen in the kind of person you are, the kind of literature you read, the kind of songs that you listen to. Help and make up the personality and your character. Yes, it is true. The person we are with and seek our companions, the things we love and fill our life with, shape and mold us as a person. The people we are with and the things we seek to fill our life with will recognize by others who see it in us. Our text says, and they, that are the Pharisees and the scribes, noted that they, John and Peter, had been with Jesus. We want to think about this text from the Word of God in the service and bring you God's Word under the theme, and who are you with? John and Peter had gone to the temple to pray. And on the way to the temple, they see a lame man from birth asking for alms. And as John and Peter walked by, he said, sir, sir, please give me a gift for this invalid man. And Peter answered, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I'll give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, stand up and walk. And the man jumped to his feet to the amazement of all the people. So, as always happens, when something sensational occurs, a great crowd of people came to see what happened. And disciples take the opportunity to preach the word of God, the gospel of salvation. They point the people up to Christ because in his name they did this great miracle to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified and call the people to faith and repentance. But it's not very long. The priests and the Sadducees from the temple guard came to arrest them. They were annoyed and angry, particularly the Sadducees. that the disciples taught the resurrection. For the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection from the dead. John and Peter are held in custody overnight to appear before the Sanhedrin in the next day on the charges of teaching false doctrine. The Sanhedrin was the highest governing body of the Jewish people. Even under the Roman government, it had its own police force with the power to arrest people and bring them to trial. Jesus stood before the same Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin could not carry out a death penalty without the permission of the Romans, but they could put people in jail and flog them without permission. The Sanhedrin is something similar to our Supreme Court. It was the name of the highest tribunal of the Jews. It was composed of the high priest. He would always be the president, and the scribes were his legal advisors, and then you have the scribes and the Pharisees. The Sadducees and the Pharisees. Peter and John were called to defend themselves before this Supreme Court because they had healed someone in Jesus' name and proclaimed the name of Jesus to the people, were called them to believe in him. How would you feel if you were called to the Supreme Court of Canada, realizing that at the outset of your activity would be condemned by this high body? Not a small matter indeed. The same high body not so long ago condemned Jesus to death. They will try to prevent at all costs that these disciples of Jesus will not get such tremendous following. They will subject these two ignorant fishermen to cross-examination and show them who really know the scriptures. These are sufficient reason for John and Peter to be afraid. Are they trembling yet? Sternly, the judges look on. But then, Peter stands up and he begins to speak. Oh, it is not very profound or learned what he says. He says what he has to say in a simple way. But he does it with boldness and with a forthright manner. So it seems he's fearless of the danger he faces and proceed to give a powerful and a forceful witness. And they, members of the Sanhedrin, had killed and crucified the one in whose name they performed this mighty miracle. And then Peter, concluding by calling the Sanhedrin to believe in Jesus. Therefore, there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Amazed, the court listened on, and the high priest turns white with anger. We, the highest body of the land, you dare to speak to us like that? To judge us? They had thought that these two fishermen would be very meek, impressed by such a gathering of learned men. For John and Peter were just two men who had never studied the general run of the mill, the John and Joe, and they just stood there testifying the gospel on power of Jesus Christ. The thoughts of the court goes back to someone who appeared before them not so long ago. Jesus, that master whom Jesus, the master of whom these two men call themselves disciples and followers. They remember that they had asked Jesus questions, and that the wisdom of this man of Jesus was great, and that he spoke with authority. They remembered the answer Jesus gave to that question. I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, yes, it is as you say. But I tell you that in the future, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Almighty and coming on the clouds of heaven. Calmly and with confidence, Jesus has spoken these words. And now the Sanhedrin sees in these two men the same Jesus. They recognize, they noted that they have been with Jesus. They thought they had finished with Jesus. They thought they had put Jesus out of their existence, out of their lives. But now they were confronted with him again through the followers. They recognize Jesus in these two disciples. Yes, congregation, this is a simple message we bring to you today. Others should recognize Jesus in you. Or, as other scripture says it, we must be living letters of the Lord by which others can read Jesus Christ in us. It must be clearly visible to those around you that you belong to Jesus. Jesus must characterize your life. If you have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, then that places a stamp on you. You cannot stay the same. A change must take place in your life. We call that being born again. If you belong to Jesus, then Jesus says in the Bible, you have died with Christ to your sins, and you are raised with him in newness of life, and you become a new creature, a new person. It is not possible to be a Christian from one Sunday to the next, from one Lord's Supper to another Lord's Supper, from the one prayer to another prayer, that there is no change taking place in you. If you are in Christ, then others must be able to see that in you. When the Sanhedrin saw and heard Peter and John, they could not help but to think about Jesus. These two disciples, who with boldness proclaimed that the fact that only Jesus is their salvation. The disciples had not always been like that. It was not very long ago that Peter was before the Sanhedrin, that he denied his Savior three times. But now, what a difference! What a difference! He stands there and speaks without fear. His face is very much evidence. Something happened to Peter. Between the first Peter appeared before the Sanhedrin and now, we find the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus, as well as the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It is in the power of that Spirit that Peter could the way he did. Peter can speak like that because he has communion with the Lord, just like we can have communion through reading God's word, through prayer, through through daily walking and talking with the Lord, like today, where there are two or three gathered in my name, I will be in their midst, says the Lord. And we are more than two and three here. Today, congregation, you are with Jesus. Or maybe better, Jesus is with you. Can others see that you have been with Jesus? Or will you, as soon as you come out of church, forget what you have been with Jesus? So that you can speak about anything under the sun but Jesus? That you have been in communion with Christ? Will you continue to be as lukewarm as before? Just as self-centered as you always been? Will there be no joy, no thanksgiving, no giving of yourself in the service of the Lord? Is that living as a Christian when the world noticed nothing of it? Is that living as a Christian when all things in life are the same as the world? When you have the same goals, the same interests and the concerns as the world, that is material wealth and entertainment? Is that living as a Christian when with us there is found just as much haughtiness, ill humor, love for money with those who do not know Christ? Is that being a living letter of the Lord? The world must be able to see Jesus in you, is it not? Husbands, in the way you treat your wives, can your wives see Jesus in you? And wives, in the way you love your husband, does that reflect something of the love of Jesus? And children, can your parents see in the way you behave, in the way you treat your father and mother, that you have been with Jesus? And father and mothers, can the children see in you that the things how you relate to one another and in kind of TV programs you watch, father and mothers, can you children see that you have been with Jesus? And teenagers, can the other kids see in school that you have been with Jesus in the way you talk and treat others? The kind of stories you tell and listen to? And they recognize that they have been with Jesus. What does the world think about Christianity and Christian faith? She judges by what she sees in the people who claim to be Christians. The world does not read the Bible, but it looks at those who say they do. Someone said, the world sees a Christian goes to church on Sunday, but don't forget, they also see you during the week. And if they cannot see any difference between them and you, they don't give a cent for what you have been. For instance, in the way we go through life's trial, you want any part of it, then you drag the name of Jesus Christ through the mud and you make a mockery of Christian faith, and that is terrible. The world is busy pushing Christ out of life, outside of every area of life. He's no longer needed in education. The laboring man only needs a union to give him what he wants. The politicians, generally speaking, do not bother asking what the will of the Lord is. In politics, they established. And society, they have become more and more permissive. But you, as Christians, you must say no to those things. Let the power of the Word God of shine in every area of your life. You must present this world of life that exemplifies that you have been with the Lord. Just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees who thought they were done with Jesus, they were placed before the inevitable fact that they would never, never be done with the Christ because of its followers reflecting Christ. So you must confront the world with the Lord. Confront the people wherever you are, wherever you do, with the Christ, the Lord of creation. Be his ambassador. Be his witness. And you, and with who are you with? And the world recognize that this congregation in this place had been with Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we could be with you today, and that in greatness of your love, you have been with us through the preaching of your holy word and in the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, gracious Lord and Father, for the simple message of the gospel, and pray, truly bless us with the power of the Holy Spirit, that it may be said to each one of us, that others can see that we've been with the Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have promised never to leave us or to forsake us. Accept our thanksgiving and guide us every moment of the day. In the name of the Lord our Savior, do we pray and give thanks. Amen.